We now have a interview with Simon Pedzisky. I don't know if I said that right, Simon. How are you going today?
Good morning. Yes, you did. You did perfectly well, Pedzisky.
Good morning, Simon. I know this gentleman is a top bloke.
Is he?
Top bloke, yes.
Great.
Very kind, very kind. Good morning, Denny.
Good morning, Dr. Simon. We only have the best here on The Breakfast Show.
Very kind.
Okay. Now, I believe we will be chatting about the body clock and the brain clock. What have you got to tell us about that this morning?
Yes. So the body clock is something that people don't tend to talk about a lot or pay as much attention as they should. But this is otherwise known as the circadian rhythm. So it's our internal 24-hour timing system. You know, that most people might say, you know, body clock or brain clock. But it's the one that helps to regulate when we sleep, when we wake up, when we eat, when we think, when we move, and, you know, our hormones, our immune system, our metabolic function, and how the cells actually, you know, follow through repair work or maybe, you know, binary division to in order to multiply and replace themselves. It's also the clock that's responsible for, you know, our energy, our mood, our concentration, and overall, our health. So important to talk about, because when it's disrupted, then it affects our health and our health.
Okay. Hey, thanks for that little introduction. So looking at the circadian cycle, it seems our bodies are programmed to do different things at different times of the day. Like, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, yes, absolutely. It is programmed to do certain things. Now, our bodies are not designed to just operate at the same level throughout the day. The circadian rhythm, what it does is it coordinates the body's alertness, the body's temperature, the body's blood pressure, hormone production, digestion, and physical performance. So when you think about it, it's like having an orchestra and a conductor. And therefore, you know, when you look at the body clock itself, it's helping us to biologically be able to maintain every function that makes us who we are, and therefore then that body clock needs to be in sync in order for it to perform very well and therefore help us to be in good health.
Oh, cool. So I have a little clock at home and sometimes it stops ticking correctly and I have to like push the hands back into the right place. Can that happen in our bodies as well? Can our bodies go out of sync and what can we do to fix it?
Yes, so our bodies can go out of sync, and mainly that is due to lifestyle choices that we might make. So, for example, if you're going to sit up on Facebook, on Twitter, or, you know, watching movies late into the night, that can offset your body clock, especially when you do that repetitively. If you decide that you're going to be, you know, eating at night instead of eating during the day, again, that can offset the body clock. And so the simplest and easiest thing to do is when your body clock is offset, the way to reset it is just quite simply think about some of the lifestyle practices and choices you're making that should actually be done in the day and those that should be done at night, and make sure that you're separating those two and creating a very distinct rhythm where if you're meant to be sleeping at night, then you're sleeping, not watching while sleeping. If you're meant to be active during the day, then that's not the time to be spending, you know, maybe taking a nap, because then that affects how much you sleep at night.
Okay. So does the physical light of the sun or darkness have an impact on the way that we do things on our body clock?
Yes, it does. So light is the most powerful signal for setting our biological clock. So morning sunlight, for example, tells the brain that it's time to wake up, it's time to be alert, it's time to be active. And as daylight fades, the brain begins to produce, you know, other neurotransmitters, hormones such as melatonin, and that helps the brain to, you know, change the clock into night mode and help us to sleep well. So light exposure is absolutely critical during the day, and also then reducing light exposure at night is equally as important to keep in sync within that body clock.
So, doctor, the chickens, our friends, the chickens, they have it right on, because they wake up as the sun gets up and they go to bed as the sun goes down.
Yes. And do you know what, Danny?
If you have a chicken brain, if someone accuses you of having a chicken brain, you've probably got a very good brain.
And that's probably why the chickens were created before us, you know, as an example.
To be an example. I've never thought about that insight. Now, that's gold.
But in his wisdom, you know, he knew what he was doing.
I told you this doctor was a good doctor. We've got only the best
He's
on the breakfast show.
About chicken brains.
So if you want to reset your body clock, go and buy a chicken, right?
Exactly. Have a few chickens in the backyard, and what they do, follow them.
Oh, dear. That's it. Oh, man. Back to the serious things. So there's a diagram that shows melatonin production starting around 9 p.m. and stopping around 7:30 a.m. Why is melatonin so important, and what can interfere with its production?
So melatonin is often called the darkness hormone. It helps the signals, you know, that tells the brain that it's time to sleep. So what you'll find is that, you know, things like blue light from our phones, our tablets, you know, the TV, or bright indoor lighting can delay the release of melatonin, making it harder to sleep. And that's why reducing screen time and dimming lights in the evening can become such a positive effect on sleep quality.
Hmm. Right. Can LEDs and very modern forms of lighting be like, can we adjust what type of light that we use in our homes or our screens so that it's better for us and not impacting our hormones so much?
Well, sad to say, there's no new technology that can replace the natural darkness, because what the brain needs is total darkness for it to actually be able to know that I need to produce the darkness hormone. Otherwise, the body clock will actually be sort of tricked into, you know, when you're stimulating your melanopsin cells, your optic nerve, then that tells the brain that, oh, you know, it's not yet time to completely shut down. So I would say any form of light, doesn't matter what light it is likely going to impact on your sleep. However, I do know that there are some people who, you know, can sleep regardless of light, but also can sleep regardless of an earthquake going on, right?
So not me. You know,
so for some people, it's not an issue. But for most people, especially if you're already struggling with sleep, I would say total darkness is going to be your best friend.
Like, follow the example of the chickens. They always sleep in the corner of the coop.
Correct.
My sister has chickens, and I see they're all going. They're like, that's their hot spot. You know what I mean?
They go to
the corner of the coop, you know, where it's darkest.
I have a question. So how much does this affect children? Because a lot of children are afraid of the dark. Parents will put a night light or leave some sort of a light so that they're not in darkness. Is that something that will actually harm a child, or is it just something that might cause a bad habit for later in life?
Yeah, so here's the thing. Those interventions are temporary. It's like plaster on a wound, which later on, because it's too covered much, is likely going to get infected over time. So I think if you have a child that's scared of the darkness, I think addressing why they're scared is going to be more important. Think about whether, Danny, I know you talked about the of the coop, which is a safe place. Mm. What is it that's causing them to be anxious, especially in darkness? And what are they worried about? Addressing that and helping them to be able to build that confidence of being in their own space and knowing that, you know, Christ and the angels are going to be present and supporting them. I think that's the thing that the devil sometimes uses, knowing that later on, if he affects the brain development, particularly for kids whose brain is still developing critical, you know, structures and neural connections up to the age of 10, then they will struggle for the rest of their life, and their ability to concentrate, ability to maintain that body clock, ability to then, you know, be in sync with God and the Holy Spirit as our bodies are the temple, that becomes affected. So I would say, look at it from not a lens of it's just a simple intervention, but actually think of it from a spiritual perspective and you will see a completely different outcome.
Mm. Wow. That's mind-blowing. We've got Shell, we've got the hand motions of mind-blowing over in the corner here.
Well, this is just so relevant, Lindsay and Shell, because we're living in a day and age, and Dr. Simon, you can vouch for this, but we're living in a day and age where young people, especially teenagers, have got phones with them. They take their phones to bed, and they are so prone to utilizing their phones at all hours This is, and no wonder.
And a lot of people just leave the TV on through the whole entire night because they say that's the only way that they can sleep.
And so the mental health crisis that we find today, especially amongst young people, according to the Australian government stats, is enormous. And it's all really skyrocketed in a major way in the last 20 years, especially since the advent of the smartphone. Do you have anything to share on that, Doctor?
Absolutely. So here's the thing. There are two areas that I spend most of my time investigating and researching looking into. Number one, in Australia, why is it the number of kids diagnosed with ADHD is increasing more than 2.5% per capita compared to the rest of the world? Why is it dementia is the leading cause of death in Australia, when in other, first world countries, it's actually number, 5, 6, 7, 8. Wow. And yet it's not a normal process of aging. It's because how we support our brain to build resilience, particularly in two stages when our brain is developing, 0 to about 10, 11, which is the first stage of development, and the second stage of development between about 11 to about 25 when the brain stops growing. How we allow our brain the space and the scope to be healthy and resilient affects the rest of our life. So when our body clock is offset and your brain cells are not being sort of replenished or replaced, and you've got free radicals developing in your brain, and you've got brain fatigue, and then you've got brain fog, then you can't concentrate, then you can't easily be stimulated by anything else apart from the things that then cause addiction, then you start to see why there's a trend in young people where addiction is rising. And when they can't then get their brain stimulated because their addiction gets to a peak, then you start to see, suicidal thoughts. Then you start to see complete breakdown from a mental health perspective. So, there's a direct link here between the body clock and everything else that we're seeing, particularly nowadays.
So we have a trend that's been going on for probably close to 10 years now, where parents are giving their very, very small children iPads or phones or anything like that. We call this generation iPad kids sometimes. What is that doing to their brains and to their futures?
Well, that's an interesting topic. So put it this way. If your brain develops 50% of its neural pathways and connections between the age of 0 to 10, we know that when you're spending time on screen, especially given that everything that we have now, whether it's Facebook, whether it's cartoons, whether they've got a screen reference of about 3 seconds where the picture, the motion, the color, the form has to change. Mm-hmm. And the way it's designed is to actually keep you concentrated. But how do you keep the brain concentrated with those features? By hypnotizing the frontal lobe. And what is the frontal lobe responsible for? Thinking, behavior, movement, memory, reason. Executive function, and reason. And so there was a study that was done in America, and I think it was published. I was looking at it beginning of the year, where they were saying all generations from the beginning of time being measured in terms of generation sort of intelligence from one to the other. And these records were started something from the 1800s. They noticed that every generation was smarter than the previous generation up to until 2000s.
Wow.
And when they were looking at why, it was the introduction of technology in schools.
Wow.
And then beyond that, introduction of technology at home. And therefore, when kids are, another interesting point in the UK, I think public health sort of support, I was reading something again a few months ago where, the government is now advising to say kids before, who are up to the age of 5, I believe, they shouldn't be, spending time on screen where possible. And that's because it's acknowledged that brain development slows down, particularly when you're hypnotizing the frontal lobe and slowing it down. There's a reason why kids are born with big heads.
Yeah.
Okay? It's because the rate at which the brain develops, particularly in those early stages, is fast. And therefore, the brain, the skull is already
prepared,
accommodating the rate at which the brain is going to develop. But when you slow it down, then you start to see a lot of these conditions that kids are going to be diagnosed with at a young age. But also it means that the circadian rhythm is going to be offset from a young age, and therefore it becomes normal. So later on, when those kids are starting to experience, you know, metabolic function issues, you know, they've got diabetes, they've got all these other conditions that are autoimmune related, which are also, by the way, rising if you look at, you know, current trends, then you can almost see the link between the body clock, the body function, and the gadgets and equipment that we use in order to offset that clock.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Wow, this that was so insightful.
A fascinating segment.
One of the best health interviews I have heard.
100%. Yeah,
we Danny, you're always very kind.
Oh, boy. And this is so relevant. Yeah. So relevant. So thank you, Dr. Simon.
Yeah, it's been
Most
a real
welcome.
Blessing having you share with us today.
You're we started.
Yeah, speaking of technology.
Yes, someone is always listening all the time.
Unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
Unbelievable.